This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
Sometimes having a baby is impossible. Maybe you've got a genetic disorder. Maybe you don't have a functioning uterus. Maybe you're a guy. Maybe you don't have the right chromosomes to match. I wonder if you've watched, like most other Australians, in awe of American movie stars that seem to be able to pump out children without the inconvenience of being pregnant. Usually, they're engaging the services of a paid surrogate. Now, if you're like me, you might have never in your wildest dreams imagined that someone would offer to bear a baby for you. Surely, it would have to be a relative or someone who has paid many thousands of dollars. But actually, no. Here in Australia, there's an increasing number of women who are volunteering to bear a child for someone who can't, and they're not doing it for the money. I met Amanda Meehan when she reached out to say that she'd not heard any stories on the Baby Talk podcast about people's experiences with surrogacy. I told her we'd done a story on an egg donor and her recipient. Now, there's two lovely babies and a very happy family from that story. But I said I hadn't actually heard of anyone offering to be a surrogate for a non-relative. So this is how we all get to meet the amazing Amanda Meehan. Amanda, tell us some more about yourself.
I'm a 31-year-old Sagittarian, mother of four, and I have a lovely partner, Lyle, as well. We've been together for about 7 years. I'm the president of my kindergarten committee and just a average stay-at-home mum.
Except you're not.
Oh, except for that one thing. Yes.
That one thing. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So in March this year, I gave birth to a little girl, Sailor, through surrogacy.
So tell me about the plan behind Sailor's conception and birth.
Okay. In high school, one of my very, very best friends, Dusk, he came out to me at the end of high school, and I think that we might have had a few drinks and we were sitting in a McDonald's car park at some silly o'clock time in the morning, and I said, well, when you want to have a baby, come and find me. And then I'd had some kids and we'd kind of grown apart. We were still Facebook friends, but we were still in the same friend circle. And then I had seen on Facebook that he went to the Australian Surrogacy Conference, which is held every year in a different state. And I messaged him and I said, are you looking into surrogacy? I'm here. If you want to still do this, I'm here. And him and his partner kind of said, wow, that's amazing. We couldn't imagine somebody doing that. So we'd never thought to come and ask. And they were actually looking at going overseas. So then we planned to have dinner and we spoke about it and it all kind of snowballed from there.
So did you have the conversation with your husband first before you mentioned it to your
friend? So I probably had a few conversations about it previously. I hadn't forgotten about them as my friends, but I'd kind of forgotten about that ask. But I'd always been thinking about surrogacy, and I actually went down the route of going to be an egg donor for a lady that was in my local community. It ended up that she ended up getting pregnant and having a baby herself anyway.
Oh, I love those stories.
Yeah. So it was good because we'd already had those conversations and it was already out there when this came up with my two friends.
Talking about it, getting the okay,
yeah,
that's one thing, but actually going through it. So how did you get around the technical details?
So surrogacy in Australia is a long process, and they say it's kind of like dating. So as a surrogate and, you know, your husband, your partner, or if you're a single woman, you're kind of dating your IPs. IPs are intended parents. So they're
the
people.
I love that there's a nickname for them.
Yeah, there's a few, you know, little things like that. So you have your either, you know, there's all different types. There's IMs, which are intended mums, IFs, which are intended dads, or an IM and an IF, or one of each. You have a lot of counselling, and it's a long process. So in Victoria, especially, because they also have a panel called the Patient Review Panel, and they review your case. So you see counsellors, lawyers, you have an independent psych evaluation. There's a lot of stuff before you actually get to any of the baby making process.
Can't imagine that they have a huge backlog of people wanting to do this. And this is a big ask for a woman.
Yeah, there are so many more than you think. At the moment, I think in Australia, just of the surrogates that we know in the Australian surrogacy community and on our surrogate support page, which is a page on Facebook. We have 22 surrogates pregnant at the moment. And I think that's the highest number that we've ever had pregnant at one time. So surrogacy is booming here in Australia. And a lot of them, it's about 50-50 between surrogates being surrogates for people that they'd known beforehand or people they'd just met in the community, meaning they'd come to surrogacy knowing nobody that needed to have this and finding basically strangers who have become their friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Give us an idea of the sort of ringer that they put you through to get the final tick of approval to go ahead.
Yeah. So you have counselling sessions. I'll just say in my instance because I have a partner. So it's me and my partner together and then my IPs together. And then we also had about 3 or 4 hour long counselling sessions all together, the four of us. You know, they ask questions about termination, you know, they talk about your history, things like that. And it's all to do with if you're, you know, mutual respect is a big thing in surrogacy because you have to have a lot of trust. IPs always talk about when they're in that very early stage of if you're going to, how do I know that my surrogate is going to give the baby to me? Because legally you're the parent if you give birth to the baby till you do a parentage order and change the birth certificate to the parents. And I always say to them, you have to trust for 10 months that, say, I will give you that baby, but I have to trust you then for the rest of my life that you'll let me be in your baby's life. And every surrogate will tell you the same thing, that if we wanted to have another baby, we'd just go home and make one with our husband. We wouldn't go through all of this to make a baby and take your baby.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. I think if I was being completely honest, I don't know that I'd had the baby over at the end.
Yeah.
That would be my thing.
Yeah, but that's you. And you, so you know that you probably couldn't do surrogacy then. And that's, you know, it's not an avenue for you. And people tell me all the time, and they say, oh, I could never do that. And that's fine. Lots of people could never ever do it. And a lot of people, till they're confronted with, say, their sister is a surrogate or something like that, and they say all the time, I could never have done this if it wasn't for my sister. And that's perfectly fine as well. It's not for everyone, but there are a few of us around.
Okay. What do you think gives you that steely backbone to be able to do it?
I don't know. Before I had Sailor, actually, I would have said that I'm very good at moving the logical away from the emotional. And I thought about it the whole time, you know, this is not my baby, this is their baby. It's all about intent, and all the words that you choose to use, they're all, it matters what's behind those words and what you're going to say and things like that. Obviously, then after I had Sailor, there was a hormone flood because I'd just had a baby, and I started to see things very differently. And it was, you know, these, I would do it all again in a heartbeat, and I plan to do it all again, but it was very different to what I thought it would be. It wasn't as easy to separate the logic from the emotion afterwards.
Okay, so technically, how did it happen?
So for us, it happened a bit differently than most cases. We went through all the counselling, everything like that, got PRP approval. So we were at a clinic, and they had, I was going to be their surrogate, and I was going to be a gestational surrogate, which means that the egg was not mine and they were going to have an egg donor. They'd had a few offers of egg donation, but they'd all fallen through for different reasons. And then they decided to go to the World Egg Bank, and that's a place where you can purchase eggs. And so they'd chosen a donor, they'd purchased eggs, and I think you get 7 for some ridiculous life-changing amount of money. You get 7 eggs and only 2 fertilized. So that gave us 2 embryos. We transferred one, it didn't work. We transferred the other and it didn't work. And then this whole time I was on medication. I'd never been on these kind of IVF drugs before. They made me feel pretty crummy. So I turned to the boys and I said, I still want to do this and I want to give you a baby. I don't want to watch you spend another $30,000 on 7 eggs that might not work,
anything. So yeah. 30 grand.
I think it's about 27,000, yeah.
But no guarantee.
No, I think you get a guarantee that they will thaw or that 5 will thaw or something like that. But there's no guarantee you could just walk away with no baby at the end, yeah.
Wowzers.
So I kind of said, I don't want to watch my friends put that kind of money into this again when at that point we'd done so much counselling and stuff. I had kind of come around to the idea of using my own eggs. So I said, I don't really want to be on these drugs anymore. I don't want to see you waste any more money. Can we talk about doing this traditionally and doing it with my own eggs? One of them was very static, and the other one was as well, but took a little bit to come around to the idea, only because that's asking a lot from somebody. And they thought that that was asking way too much from me when they're already, you know, I was already going to be their surrogate. But eventually he came around. So then we did home inseminations actually with a syringe, and it worked the first month.
So technically you could have bypassed the whole counselling, yada, yada, yada.
Well, and you still have to do your counselling and you still have to do your legals. The only part would be that we wouldn't have had to go to the PRP, which is only a Victorian specific thing anyway, and they wouldn't have put that money into those eggs. But at the end of the day, we all agree that we needed to do all of those steps to get to that final decision, because I don't think that I would have come to it without having all that failure in between.
Then things started going along. And how did you feel? Because hormones are crazy while you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And did you have doubts? What did it feel like being pregnant, knowing that you weren't going to go home with the baby, all those things?
Yeah. So I think that that part of it, I was pretty fine. And I felt really, really good up until about, I think it was 12 to 14 weeks. And then I got really, really sick. And I was in hospital a few times. It was hard to function. I'd never been that sick when I'd been pregnant before. And I'd had four children before then. So it was very new to me. And it was crazy. And there was only one time. So the sickness kind of wore off at about 28 weeks. So it was for a good chunk of time in the middle there.
Wow.
And then after that time, I remember driving into the only time that I think it hit me, I drove into my driveway after doing the school drop off. And I think I was around 30-ish weeks maybe. And I kind of just had this flush of, what the F am I doing? Like, I'm just going to have this baby and I'm going to give it away. This is not normal. This is not natural. And that's, those were those hormones, I guess, coming across. And, yeah, that was the first time and the only time that I was really like, whoa, I've got to sit down and think about this for a little bit.
You hear all these people changing your mind during the whole process when you find out something that you don't like about the intended parents, or arguments over money changing hands and all those sorts of things. I mean, how are all those potential problems worked out in a surrogacy situation?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it, especially in Australia, because surrogacy in Australia is all altruistic, so you cannot be paid to be a surrogate in Australia. You certainly cannot be out of pocket even, you know, a dollar. So they, you know, all medical and things are on the IPs, even up to parking at the hospital, because we know how expensive that is.
Oh, yeah, well, that's actually a significant cost.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So all of those kind of things that they're on the IP. So I wasn't out of money even $1 in my journey. But you do hear stories of where things get tense. Things can get very tense in relationships and things like that. There's never been a time, I've been in this community now for over 3 years, and there's never been a time where someone has said that I'm not giving them this baby because they won't buy me a massage, or they won't pay for this, or
they want me to go to the public hospital.
Yeah,
to have the baby.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And we have places where people can vent. We have meetups every so often in every state, and we have these support groups, so people can certainly come on. And you know, at 3 a.m. when you are feeling terrible, you can come on and say, "Oh, you know, they don't understand. They don't get it. I'm taking my kids to school. I'm feeling this," and that's usually the end of it after that. People have a vent and then there's light at the end of the tunnel for everyone.
Could I be a diva and say, I want you to hire a nanny to look after my two-year-old. I want to get a limousine to the hospital. I want the most expensive birthing suite with one of those hotel stays afterward.
I guess that you could obviously bring all of this up in pre-counselling. And, you know, if you match with somebody and they agree to all of these exuberant things, then I guess you can ask whatever you want. But I guess that a lot of surrogates also know that IPs don't have a lot of money. They've put all of their money into IVF. And usually a lot of them, especially the intended mum's intended father pairings, they've tried IVF for themselves for so many rounds before they've come to surrogacy. So that's, we're all very cautious around money and things like that. We don't like asking for money. Obviously, we're very altruistic by nature. That's what brought us here to surrogacy. We don't like talking about money, and that's really the only cause of issues sometimes, is because surrogates will not stand up for, you know, what they need. If they need maternity clothes, you know, you've you often know that how much money your IPs have spent on IVF, that you don't want to ask for these kind of things. But it's very important for a good partnership that everyone's very respectful and so open.
You just know that, because overseas surrogates have been kind of more popular, I guess, because on the one hand, it's there's a fee exchanging hands and then you don't have to deal with all the emotional issues, even though they obviously exist for the surrogate that's overseas. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how they cope with it.
Yeah. So I think overseas as well, they have agencies. So the agencies kind of take on the brunt of that, you know, those issues, and they have counselling available 24/7, just like we do. Any clinic that you go through or any independent counsellor, you can go to counselling anytime at your surrogacy journey. But I think then for some IPs, that's a better place for them to go, because they can exchange that money and they can have that, okay, I've paid her and I don't feel like I owe her anything, and I can just kind of sit here and wait for my baby and then disengage from it all. In Australia, it's very, very different. These people become your family, and we've seen lots and lots of families made, and the surrogates and the egg donors, you know, they're all there. They're all there for birthdays and they're all at the meetups, and it's everyone is a big family, but you actually see extended families created, and it's actually wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I think that ongoing participation in a child's life would be pretty important for it as once they discovered how their life began.
Yeah, I think so. I think that is, amazingly correct. In my particular instance, I thought, because I was only going to be a gestational surrogate at the start, we had talked about in counselling, you know, the minimal kind of just that postpartum fourth trimester period. We talked about that and my involvement in the baby's life at that time, because what I needed for my body and things like that. But now that there is a genetic link as well, she's genetically related to me, she's genetically related to my children, that's more important to me now. And I think as she grows up, that will be more important to her as well. And it's very important to her dads, you know, they're not oblivious to the fact, they're not just like, okay, this is our baby and you go over there now. We're very much involved. I talk to them nearly every day, and we are a family now.
I would imagine that there potentially could be some people that would like to go, thanks very much, I'd like to step away now. How would you have managed that?
Probably not very well. There have been actually instances like that. A lot of people talk, you know, there's great, great parts to surrogacy, and when it works, it is fantastic. But there have been quite a few cases like that, even in Australia, where people have gotten their baby, they've gotten their parentage order, and then backed away.
See you later, Gator.
See you later, And they don't do the visits and they don't do the calls. A big thing that us surrogates like to get across to intended parents, future intended parents, is under-promise and over-deliver. If you have no intention of doing these things, then do not promise them at the start. You will match with somebody else that has those intentions that you do, or there's always overseas options.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the counselling's strong enough that it would be able to draw that out?
Seeing the counselling from my own perspective, because in our own journey, we'd actually seen a few egg donors that were not accepted by the counsellors. So in my instance, it works very well. And the topics covered were much broader than what we were talking about at home before we went to counselling. I was actually really happy with my counselling and with my ongoing counselling as well. It's never going to be foolproof. Even say you go to the US and you're paying, I don't know what the fee is, but whatever amount of money, it's never going to be foolproof, the counselling. Every human has the ability to lie, I guess. So, you know, they're going to tell you what you want to hear if this is something they want so desperately. But the majority, I am happy to say, these people, they want a baby and they want to revel in this amazing woman that's given them a baby too.
Well, that's pretty nice. What about if you delivered your baby and suddenly the parents turned out to be strict authoritarian parents? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be sort of wanting to go, oh, I want that baby back. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's always going to be times like that. We actually spoke about it a lot in counselling, and it wasn't something that I had thought would affect me before I went to counselling. And she brought up a lot of things like they might decide to discipline this way, or they might have no discipline for their kids, you know. By that time you have a parentage order, and I guess by the time discipline and things like that come around, it's very solidified that that is their child. I never look at Sailor and think, oh, that's my daughter. They shouldn't feed her this way or anything like that. I know that she came from me and she's part of me, and they very much respect and they ask for my advice, which I love that. And I'm not just pushed out of it altogether, but also I don't expect to have a say or anything like that.
Yeah, you sort of have to back away a little bit, don't you?
Yeah.
I can imagine that, you know, in maybe 12 years' time, you might get a few teenage girl doors slamming. I'm going back to my biological mother.
Yeah, I guess now, you know, that she's here and that she's a girl, there are issues that are going to come up. Her dads are wonderful, and I think that...
Hey, you might have your kids slamming the door going, I'm going off to live with sailors.
Yeah, they do that already now. They always ask to go there because they can wrap Dusk and Tim around their fingers a little bit. So they're always happy to go there for sleepovers and to spend time with them.
If anyone is listening and thinking, oh, I loved being pregnant. I love that idea.
Yeah.
What sort of things should you ask yourself before you make an inquiry, and how do you make an inquiry?
So, honestly, a lot of women, they come into it and if they know, they know. They've known forever and it's not something that just pops into their mind and you really have this sense of, I could do that. If you are partnered, my first advice would be speak to your partner first. And it's very much reliant on a whole team, surrogacy, and your husband, your partner. They are included in that team as well, and you'll need so much support emotionally that you need them to be on board as well. And then for first point of call coming into the surrogacy community, there's a few. For anyone, for a surrogate, an intended parent, I would strongly suggest looking up Sarah Jefford, surrogacy lawyer. She's actually written an Australian surrogacy handbook. So Sarah's not actually just the leading surrogacy lawyer in Australia. She also has been a surrogate before, and she's one of my very close friends too now through surrogacy. We had a very similar journey where we started off as gestational carriers and ended up being traditional carriers, and she gave birth earlier this year as well. So she's been there. She's done the hard slog as well. She knows what it really takes. She knows what a surrogate wants. She knows what IPs need. So looking up her handbook and downloading that and having a read through that, it's all very state specific as well. So that's very good because every state has different laws. So you want to know what you're up for first off.
What would you say to anyone that's listening that desperately wants a baby? Would you consider that, you know, is it easy to find somebody that's willing to help?
Yeah. If you are genuinely there to put in the work and to put in the effort and to have this connection, then yeah, absolutely. There are surrogates out there. You can always tell your story, and there might be somebody in your life, and that's what we find a lot. A lot of intended parents come to the page and then they kind of see how it works, and there's a few Facebook pages around and there's a forum called the Fertility Connections Forum, and they go on there and they kind of see, and then they confident to share their story with family and friends. So then a lot of people end up finding a surrogate there with, you know, it might be someone, their friend's wife or things like that. That's happened a lot of times before. Otherwise, there's certainly lots of connections being made in the Australian surrogacy community or on the Fertility Connections page.
All right. And what about for the kids themselves, the children themselves? We're becoming a little bit more used to the different ways families are created. Yeah. And in, you know, we're seeing all the troubles that were caused by those anonymous sperm donors in the 70s where, you know, people were told to keep it secret.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think that the family stories are going to evolve these days and into the future?
Yeah, I think that the counselling at the very start, and even a lot of IPs and surrogates do pre-counselling. So before they've matched with anyone, they do a lot of counselling. Always at the Australian surrogacy conferences that are held every year, they have children. They have a panel there, and they are children that are born via surrogacy. All of these children have been told their story since the first day they were born. And I tell Sailor all the time, she has books about it. Her parents tell her in just talk about it like it's normal. So it's never going to be this big moment on their 16th birthday where they come out and say, obviously for Sailor it's different. She has two dads. So if she hasn't put it together by the time she's 16, she might never. It's not going to be this big reveal like, oh, actually you.
By the way.
You know, you conceived via donor eggs or donor sperm or surrogacy and donor eggs and donor sperm. Like if you're telling children from the start, it's not new to them. It's not a big revelation to them. And having these people around all of the time is... it's amazing. You see these people, a lot of the kids were born overseas surrogacy as well. This one boy in particular, who is quite young, I think he's about 14, he talks about he calls her his surrogate mum, and things like Facebook, that he has a great connection now because they can talk across country. He goes and visits, things like that. And he calls her children his cousins. And I think it's a wonderful relationship to have.
Okay. So is your mind officially blown by this story? Could you do it? Would you ask someone to do it for you? There will be some links, as many as I can find, on the Baby Talk website. Just search Baby Talk and you should find us online and on Facebook, where the page is called Baby Talk with Penny. If you'd like to hear this interview again or share it with somebody who you think would like to find out more about surrogacy, you can find this story as a podcast on the ABC Listen app, on our website, or on any of the places you pick up your podcasts. Just put Baby Talk, one word, in your search engine, and I'm sure you'll track us down. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.